Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Full of frustration. Full of despair. From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation. Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory, pride, passion, in search of silverware. And they found Major League Soccer.
Yes, welcome along to Season 4, Episode 8 of the MLS UK show. I'm Elliot Holman.
And I'm Henry Hewitt.
I think I've got a rough idea. I think I know where to start with today's podcast. So let's get cracking. Henry, do you know where you'd like to start?
I can't think of anything. What a weekend it's been for the US men's national team, winning the Gold Cup. That was great, wasn't it?
It was good, yeah.
Yeah, Miles Robinson getting the winner. Brilliant for them. I'm really proud of them. And the Canadian women's national team, they're in the Olympic final as well. So great stuff. Great stuff for North America.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's anything else? A real positive way to start the show.
And Orlando 3, Atlanta 2, the MLS UK show derby has been won by Orlando for the first time in Orlando, by the way. And I think the general consensus is get in, come on.
There'll be more of that, more of him saying get in, more of us talking about that game in particular and the rest of MLS, because there's been loads going on over the course of the show. But welcome to the new episode. Before we start, we need to say, it's something that we ask every year now. It's become an annual thing. But the Football Content Awards are back and we need your vote. So in this section, this is the first part of it. It's to kind of suggest a podcast that you like or would like to see nominated. Now, last year, we normally have our silver award from last year on the table, but Elliot stuck his Orlando shirt on it today.
Priorities, get in.
But we were lucky enough to win silver last year, so we hopefully, like the Olympians, we might be going for gold this time. So if you want to suggest us, we would really appreciate it. You go to footballcontentawards.com/voting. On there, you scroll down then to the best podcast section, and it's in the international part. You type MLS UK show, scroll down to the bottom and vote now. We would really appreciate your vote. It means so much to us. And don't get me wrong, it's nice for us to go and have a swanky sort of awards ceremony.
Oh, a lovely meal.
Yeah, in London. But, we will be there like last year was on YouTube, but the year before that was at Manchester City Stadium, and you're there with so many content creators from the world of YouTube, podcasting, in the UK. We're talking like the Arsenal Fan TV guys, We're the guys who do Man United stuff, Liverpool stuff, guys and girls that go to stadiums in the UK and film themselves watching the match. So all these great creators, and then we're there promoting MLS, and it's nice to talk to them. And we have in recent years actually had people who have worked for big channels then go, oh, check out MLS, and asking us about it. So it's nice for us, but it is to help promote MLS in this country.
Yeah, and we've got DC UK who does a podcast. We've got Any Revs UK, the guys at RBNY UK, starting to do podcasts, you know, sort of under the MLS UK umbrella, if you will. So really nice to get a little bit of recognition for MLS here in Europe.
Yes, and it sounds like as well that we're getting recognition for MLS in Asia because, this is very geeky, so hear me out, but I was checking out our new podcast host because we're part of a sports social podcast network. So we've actually changed the website that hosts the podcast. So we upload it to that website and then it sends it out to Apple, Spotify and all of them. So I was checking it out, and you can check how many people listen and where they listen from, how many men, how many women listen, and that sort of thing. And
dogs.
Any dogs, yeah. We don't have many dogs. But we have now had one listen in Japan, specifically Tokyo. So I had a look at our previous podcast host, and we've never had a listen in Tokyo. And it just happens to be the 2 weeks where the Olympics are on. So that's got me thinking, is somebody who is in the Olympics listening to the MLS UK show?
Imagine an actual Olympian, an athlete, listening to this with us two. To be fair, it could be a family member. It could be somebody who's, you know, one of the trainers, anyone like that.
No, don't put us down. I mean, it may be somebody who's American or Canadian or British who lives in Tokyo and they just happen to find us. But it could also be someone who's going for a gold medal.
I know who it is.
Who?
To you, this just looks like a white room where we film this, but it's my garage, and just round the corner is a gold medalist, Adam Peaty, gold medalist in the swimming. He's won every single swimming final he's ever competed in.
He's as good as a fish.
Yeah, he's literally a fish. He might be like, oh, I know those guys, they live around the corner, I'll listen while I'm in Tokyo. I've got nothing else to do.
If you are that person, even if you are just the next part who's living over there, then let us know at MLS UK show. We're really intrigued. Also, if you're listening in any other country that isn't Britain or Canada or America, then yeah, let us know. But yeah, we've had our first listen in Tokyo, and it happens to be in the Olympic 2 weeks as well.
Sorry to rain on your parade. There is a story I've seen where a guy who signed up for Tinder, it's been a while since I've been on Tinder, I'll be honest, but you can pay for pro or premium, and it allows you to move the circle, you know, the radius that you're operating in, to anywhere in the world. And there was a guy who was literally like sat on his sofa in like Sheffield, I don't know, and he was trying to pull an Olympian. Right. He was trying to get chatting to an Olympian who was staying in the Olympic Village. So he changed his location to Tokyo, and he was like, "I'm going for the swimmers. I want to get a swimmer." And he actually started chatting to one of the Canadian female swimmers on their swim team, wow. And it worked. So it might just be someone who's left that switched on.
Right, so hopefully not. Hopefully it's not somebody who's just left the VPN on. But if you are that person, let us know at MLS UK show. I've tried putting off as long as I can. I can't do. We're going to have to talk about what happened in MLS last weekend. But before we do that, we don't start the MLS UK show until we've done the game with a changing name. Now, you've told me that it's a bit of an interesting one this time, that you're changing the rules slightly.
Yeah, so it's a really, if I was to read their career path, because this is a player that's played in the UK and in MLS, if I read the clubs that they've played for, you'd just get it like that, like too easy. So I've had to make it a little bit harder. Okay. So here is today's game with the changing name player. They were born in 1982 in England.
Right.
They've scored over 200 goals in England, Scotland and the USA combined. 11 of those goals were in MLS.
Okay.
20 goals internationally for England.
Right.
They're still playing now at 38, still going. What do you reckon?
I don't know, you know. 20 goals for England. That means they've had a really good career. Let me have a think over the course of the show. If you know, at MLS UK Show on Twitter, Instagram, or if you're watching on YouTube, just comment in the comments below. Give us a like while you're there as well. And it leaves a timestamp then so we can see where you're up to. I'm intrigued. I really am. So I'm going to have a think.
Yeah, scored a lot of goals in the Premier League. And that's what I want to talk about next, because we are going to have a word from our sponsors, which is actually a word from us. So let's cross live to me.
The MLS UK Show.
Now, I've been saying for a long time that despite the incredible range that Soccer 90 do stock, they haven't got any Norwich City stuff. And they retweeted Norwich City's release of their away jersey, the secondary jersey for the upcoming Premier League season, which is gorgeous, by the way, and said, we should maybe stock some Norwich shirts. Yes, you should. I don't think it's ever going to happen. But if you are into maybe some of the more fashionable and good Premier League teams, then head to soccer90.com where you can get your hands on a range of Premier League jerseys and, of course, some of the biggest teams all across Europe.
Yep, if you support one of the big six or you're looking to get into the Premier League ahead of a new season, head to soccer90.com and when you're at the checkout, type MLS UK and you get 25% off too.
Probably not on a Norwich shirt though. If they put a Norwich shirt in, I'll tweet them. Tweet them, tell them to put a Norwich shirt in, and I'll give you further discount. That's not true.
MLS UK Show with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
Okay, let's have a look at what happened last weekend MLS. But before we do, let's talk more about the US men's national team winning the Gold Cup. They beat Mexico 1-0 in extra time. Atlanta's Miles Robinson with a goal, which is great. It's a great moment for US soccer, especially after the last few years. You know, the World Cup disaster of 5 years ago now. Or no, it weren't even that. It was 3 years ago. Yeah, yeah. So still lives in the memory. So, no, good times for the US men's national team. And if results go right in the next few games, they could actually break into the top 10 in the FIFA rankings as well.
And when you actually break that down, USA, the US men's national team breaking into that top 10, is huge. Since we've been doing this podcast, we've taken a huge interest in MLS, the big league in the States. And yet the US men's national team been a bit of a joke. I think it's fair to say, despite good players, it's not worked out for whatever reason. There's always been something. It's always been a bit of a disaster. So this is a massive leap. It's huge. Mm. You can't underestimate how much, you know, it's not the World Cup. They've not won the World Cup, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And they've proved that they're the best team around.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I saw a few people on Sunday. Was it Sunday or Saturday night? I can't remember. Well, on the day...
Sunday night.
Yeah, on the day leading up to it, a few people were saying, well, Mexico in each position are probably better than the US. But the US won, and it's that fighting spirit that, ironically, that we didn't have 3 years ago. And I think it's just this new sort of era of US soccer and US men's national team. Last time, there was a few players that were coming to the end of their time, and I don't know whether the passion weren't there or whatever, but it just didn't work out. This time, this team looks good, and it's nice to see from this side of the Atlantic that in a couple of years in the World Cup, because we're only, 18 months away, less than that? Mm. So it's coming up, so hopefully the US can really put on a good show. So it was good to see, and like I said before, shout out to the Canadian women's national team for that. What they're doing in the Olympics. I think the US one can win a bronze as well, so fingers crossed for them.
Miles Robinson putting himself in the window?
For Europe, definitely, yeah. I'm surprised he's not gone already, but, you know, this is definitely doing it. He's someone who has been playing well in MLS for Atlanta, in a poor Atlanta team, and he's now shining on the national stage as well.
Yeah, Atlanta don't need him back.
Yeah, I think we do, which was emphasised by this weekend. Go on, we'll talk about it. Orlando 3, Atlanta 2.
Get in!
The start for Atlanta were brilliant. And, I'll level with you. I didn't watch the game. It was my wedding party on Saturday, which you came to. Mm. So when I woke up on Saturday morning, I didn't know the score, but I saw you've been tweeting on the MLS UK show page, and I saw that Obviously, Orlando had won, and I must admit, I dreaded it. I thought the worst. I thought it could be 5 or 6 nil. I'm going to have to build up to this party and be annoyed. Then I'll see Elliot, and I'll be like, oh, I don't want to talk to you. You're just going to brag. But in the end, 3-2, and then Martinez scoring, it actually could have been a lot worse.
I get why there's a lot of positives for you to take from this, because it's a goal for Martinez after all that's happened in the last month or so. Obviously, you know, coming back off an injury as well, that's big. It was after less than 40 seconds, which is an unbelievable start, especially away from home at your rivals. You at that point, Atlanta fans absolutely loving life, understandably. Mm-hmm. Two amazing goals.
Yeah.
For Atlanta, incredible goals. For me, the performance wasn't there. You know, I was genuinely annoyed, and it doesn't happen a lot with Orlando because they've disappointed me so many times that I've learned. And Norwich hurt me enough. I don't need it with Orlando as well. There's no point me keep getting angry at Orlando. But for me, it was frustrating because they were losing a game where Atlanta weren't playing great. Atlanta weren't doing great. They just scored two great goals. But it's like I say, this bizarre season where Orlando, I've seen them play much better in previous years, but not get the results. Now, you know, Oscar's got them really, really playing the right way to get a result. It can be different game to game to game. Sometimes you just got to grind it out. And, you know, that result the other day was absolutely massive because, you know, Orlando having a bit of a wobble prior to that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the mental block as well, isn't it? You know, they've not won against Atlanta at home. So to get that, after being 2-1 down as well, conceding the first minute and then going 2-1 down, I'm sure the fans were thinking the worst. So to come back and win 3-2, and I mean, I didn't watch the game, but like you're saying, dominate the game and then end up winning. Yeah, it's a big thing for Orlando. So well done, into second now. I've got to say, from Atlanta point of view, another positive was seeing Mourinho, when he scored, go over to Valentino and celebrate with him. Yeah. The team looks a lot more united now than it was a couple of weeks ago. So that's good to see. But obviously, as an Atlanta fan, you never want to see us lose against Orlando.
And it looks like Orlando are going to lose Chris Mueller as well as potentially Daryl Dike. So it's really, really crucial. Van der Vaarte has come in and really taken like a duck to, you know what, a goal and an assist.
Yeah,
having, you know, come on just for the final period of the game, it's massive. It's a huge, huge signing because he really does look the business.
Well, we've not had a chance to talk about Mueller. It happened just after our last episode. If you don't know, he's going to Hibernian in Scotland, which would be good for him. I think it's a good. SPR. I know we joke about it sometimes, but it's a good level. And Hibs are a good team, so it'll be interesting to see how he does over here in the UK. All I've got to say, I've got to warn him that Scottish, especially Edinburgh weather, is a lot different to Orlando.
Probably as much rainfall, because when it rains in Orlando, it rains. However, they don't tend to get that really intense heat for the other 23 hours of the day in Scotland, so good luck to him. But in all seriousness, and I know you agree with this deep down, what a guy Chris Mueller is. I can't wait to welcome him over here to the UK. Really excited that he's making that step to Europe. He's been playing for the US men's national team as well, of course, alongside DK at one point. So really excited for this move and excited to see what's going to happen. A lot of talk that it could be happening earlier than we think. The side are desperate to kind of make it happen a lot sooner than Orlando would like. So we'll keep an eye on that one. But whenever it happens, we will welcome Chris Mueller with open arms to the UK.
Yeah, and a bit of breaking news this week from an Atlanta point of view. It looks like the ex-Roma boss, Paulo Fonseca, I think I've said that right. Probably not. So turned down the club. Spurs were after him, Tottenham Hotspur, earlier in the summer. So it's a good sign to see that they're going for that type of manner. Now he's turned him down. There are actually rumours that Gonzalo Pineda, the Seattle assistant, is on their radar as well. And I think DC were after Pineda.
Yeah.
And I've seen a few Seattle fans would be disappointed to see him go. So that would be interesting as well. And he's got MLS experience. So, yeah, we'll keep our eye on that one. Moving on then, we'll continue on the Friday evening. New York City FC 4-1 against Columbus after the 5-0 win against Orlando as well. 9-1 the last two games. That's big for New York City FC.
Yeah, I don't want it to seem like I'm just brushing the Orlando result under the carpet. I'm not. Credit where credit's due, because New York City look a seriously good side at the minute. I tweeted when the Orlando 11 was announced against New York, I wondered whether Perea should be investigated for match fixing, because that was bordering on pathetic, to be honest with you. Like, there was no way Orlando were going to get a result. Maybe didn't expect five. Conceding five, not great. But it's down to New York City being a really good, really strong attacking force. New York City are the real deal. And they can soon, with just a couple of wins with their games in hand, they could soon be in that second place in the East. And I think they deserve it. I think they deserve it, because they're playing really nice stuff. Said it earlier. Orlando, second, getting the results, but not the performances. I've not been that happy with the performances, whereas NYCFC, they deserve that spot.
Yeah, the approach play as well. You look at the 9 goals they've scored against Orlando and Columbus, and they really work it well in the box. They're finding space, and also they're getting through balls, you know, past the over the defence and running onto it, which when you've got one or two strong sort of quick attackers, then that's such a weapon to have in your arsenal. So, yeah, well done, New York City FC. Two very impressive performances back at the Yankee Stadium. That home form is so important in MLS. Columbus, they'll be disappointed with that, but I think we're getting freak results at the moment with players not here for international duty stuff. Yeah. So I'm sure they won't look into it too much. Remaining on Friday, then LA Galaxy 4, Portland 1. And I feel Portland are kind of in this bracket as well of teams that are just missing a few players at the moment. But credit where credit's due, this is a big win for LA Galaxy.
100%. And, you know, we touched on Chicharito at the start of the season and how important it was going to be that he really hit the ground running, because it was a massive disappointment last year. Is it safe to say that even without him, they might be okay?
Yeah, well, Ravelson has scored 4 in 5 now, so he has really stepped up, you know, where Chicharito has been missing. I read a story the other day about Chicharito breaking down in training, being really upset that he's not playing. So hopefully he can get back, because he's big for the league, let alone LA Galaxy. But yeah, they don't seem to be missing him at the moment. And yeah, it was a good performance for them. And I mean, the overhead kick by Revelson, again, fantastic. And it's I'm sure the fans will be relaxed knowing that it seemed like they were relying on him at the start of the season when they were getting those good results. But, you know, they can still put in a performance like that and win 4-1.
You feel like they could potentially be top if they'd had Chicha?
Maybe, but, you know, Seattle's unbeaten run at the start was fantastic. Mm. But let's move on to Seattle. I say it's a shock result in San Jose going there winning 1-0, but that's 3 defeats now for Seattle in the last few weeks.
And who knows anything about San Jose? I honestly watch this league religiously. We do this podcast every other week, and I don't know a thing about San Jose, because I don't understand whether they're good. I don't know whether they're bad. It's just so confusing. But Seattle, I just don't panic with them.
Yeah, you do, and you showed that form at the start. And as we've said, there's teams missing a lot of players, and it's difficult. You'd say that Seattle, when everything gets back to normal in a few weeks, they'll get back to the form they were at. But yeah, it's just one of those things. You go so long, it happens so many times in leagues across the world. You go so long without losing, you lose, and then there's that knock-on effect. But yeah, Seattle should be all right. And it weren't the only shock result in the West, because SKC, FC Dallas, SKC not lost at home yet, FC Dallas not won away yet. So with it being MLS, guess what happened?
Yeah, and FC Dallas, I have to ask you the question. Massive improvement, of course, from the early weeks of the season, start of this podcast, where we were like, what's going on here? Can they make the playoffs?
I think they can. I think they fall in a group of teams that certainly can, and have started poorly and got better. You look at Toronto in the East. FC Cincinnati are picking up the odd point here and there now. So yeah, it could be a, you know, they are a team that could be. They've got the players there. Pappy's been playing excellent, you know, to say that he's only 18 or whatever he is.
It's unbelievable.
But, no, they're picking up some good results. The result against LA Galaxy last week, winning 4-0, was impressive. To go to SKC is probably even more impressive and win 2-1. So good news for FC Dallas fans, because I don't know if many were worrying at the start of the year, but as a podcast we were saying, the Saints started very well, so it's good to see they back. I tell you what, let's go back to the East End, a team that are impressing me so much at the moment, and I'm going to say that this team, the way they're playing at the moment, the way they're getting results, they are as good as the LAFC team that won the Supporters Shield. They're as good as the Atlanta team that won MLS Cup. They're as good as the RBNY team that won Supporters Shield. It's New England Revolution.
Yeah.
They went away at RBNY and won 3-2 this weekend after being 2-1 down. Things are clicking, aren't they? And they're looking really good. And do you think they're getting the praise they should do? Or is it because maybe they're not like the LAFC team or the Atlanta team, that they're not getting as much of that?
I'm going to use the word sexy, and I apologise. LAFC and Atlanta came into the league, sexy badge, sexy kit, sexy roster, and in terms of talent. And I just feel like New England Revolution, because they're old school, it takes a little bit longer for you to be like, do you know what? This is a really good team. And we saw a couple of years ago the Brad Friedel NE Revs, and you don't feel like there's been a massive change to where they are now. There's obviously been some really crucial signings. But Bruce Arena, he knows what he's doing. I know you've backed any Revs in your preseason bet. Yeah. And I wouldn't go against it now.
They were 25-1 when I put money on them to at least get to MLS Cup. They're now 8-1.
Yeah, I think it's a great bet.
Well, we'll see. There's time for it to fail. I'm not a big gambler, but what I do know is that there is time for that to mess up. But Gustavo Bow, let's talk about him. He scored his 10th goal of the season at the weekend. For me, the way he's playing at the moment, he scored two amazing goals the last few weeks. He's potential for MVP at the moment for me.
I couldn't agree more. I think at the start of the season, we were looking at Avea, who was back, hoping Chicharito was going to entertain us. Obviously, Miami had made the big sign-ins, and we were thinking, yeah, there's going to be some MVPs here. But it's hard to... You can't argue against him. If you take him out of the equation, how confident are you then?
Still confident. I'm as confident as I would have been for... if Martinez weren't in the Atlanta team, you know, they still have Almer on, but you'd think, okay, they're missing something. Maybe we're not going to run away with it, but you'd still think they'll get in the playoffs and they'll have a good effort. So I'm probably as that. I think the way they're playing, the head coach they've got is they're going to be in the playoff picture. And if you can keep both fit, then that's that player who can get you MLS Cup.
We talk about MLS experience all the time. Bruce Arena, I mean, show me someone with more. You know, the guy knows exactly what he's doing. And it's a combination that I don't know if it would work many places. You know, that roster is not... We talk about it with Philadelphia a lot. I'm not saying they're not superstars, but I don't put them in that LAFC Atlanta bracket. But in terms of talent and what they've proven, of course they are.
Yeah, definitely. So from the top of the East to the bottom, and it was a good weekend for Miami. They won 2-1 against Montreal, who were returning to Miami after a few weeks back in Canada.
Welcome back.
But of course, as the away team this time. And they went 1-0 down Miami, but came back. Higuain, he got a bit of stick the other week. We saw that clip of him against Philadelphia where Inter Miami were attacking and he just walked from the Miami penalty area to the other one. Didn't look interested. He got the two goals. They got the win. So, he's come back this weekend, hasn't he?
For me, if you're David Beckham and you're looking at this Miami side, you know you've got a lot of problems. This doesn't just fix it. But let's focus on Higuain, because he's cost you a lot of money. Costing you a lot of money. He's costing you a DP slot, and you've only got 9 of those left. So, you know, it's really important that he didn't become a massive failure. You know, there was all attention on him. Like you say, everyone's seen the clip of him, you know, walk in, and it's been retweeted thousands and thousands of times. it's so important more than anything. Doesn't matter about the performance in this game. It doesn't matter whether they were good or not. They got the win, and their striker, who's a big part of what they're trying to do and where they've put a lot of resource, got two goals, and that's crucial.
Another big story in MLS this week, and it was at Vancouver. Ryan Gold has signed for them, DP. He was touted as the baby Messi a few years ago. It's not quite worked out for him, but he's done well in Portugal last season. So this could be a big signing for where Vancouver want to go.
It's like the kiss of death, that Messi tag, isn't it?
Yeah.
We saw it with Bojan, obviously ended up in Stoke. And then in MLS with Montreal. So, you know, I think it's definitely a really good opportunity for him to maybe prove some doubters wrong. And it's going to go one of two ways. He's going to have found his level.
Yep.
Or he's going to prove himself, get back to Europe and really push on at a higher level. So this is a fascinating one. It's really going to be one to watch. And I look at it like the Victor Wanyama signing as well, where someone comes over and you're like, really? And is he not going to be really way too good for this? You know, it's really going to be one to watch.
Yeah, it is. You're right. And it's another for another player, another man for us in MLS UK to get behind. So good luck.
That's next week's game with a changing name.
Well, yeah, when he's played one game, he qualifies. But it was really good as well seeing Vancouver do a tweet about Iron Brew. If you've not tried Iron Brew, it is a Scottish delicacy. It's a drink, a soft drink. And I think it's really nice.
Yeah. I think it's horrible.
Yeah, you hadn't tried it, had you? And I bought you one once and you didn't like it. But no, you don't know actually what's in it. It's just orange. It's
poor
like
Chris
orange.
Mueller's coming over to that.
Well, it's like when I spoke to Chris Cadden last year on the podcast, and he's obviously Scottish, and he said he misses Iron Brew and baked beans. It's like these orange foods that we have in right, let's round things up then, because in the West, it was a really interesting weekend because no team moved in the conference standings. It's fascinating. That how many games have we played now?
Yeah, so on average, you're looking at 15, 16 games played. Yeah, so no one moved. I feel like it's settling down a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is the point that I want to make to you, is that are we looking at a point where the East is finally stronger than the West?
Oh, I'd probably say if you put the top three in the East against the top three in the West at the moment, yeah, I would say that the East would win. But you know, we know what this league's like, and that could easily change. Things change within 2 weeks of us doing a podcast, so that could easily change. But no, I think you look at the way New England are playing, Nashville as well. We've not really mentioned them, but they're playing really well at the moment. So yeah, I would probably say so. But
is it to do with the East only playing the East predominantly, and the West predominantly playing the West?
Potentially. But then you look at sides like LAFC that are quite down in the West, and you think, well, is that because they're playing so badly, or is it because teams have caught them up? You look at Colorado, have been excellent this season. So
they're missing out on their yearly trip to places like Cincinnati, where they go and get their 3 points.
That's true. Yeah. So you could argue that maybe the West is still
stronger.
Better. But no, I think there are some teams that are making the most of it over others. So I think this year is going to be so interesting to see how it pans out in the end, and see if we can get whether it is someone from the East again. Because remember, the reigning champs are from the East, or whether the West can reclaim it. Last few matches, Austin 0, Colorado 1. We mentioned Colorado, another great win for them at Austin. It was still finding their feet a little bit this season.
Surprised they're bottom of the league. I was on the Austin train and it's derailed. So it's be my fault because I'm the kiss of death. But I just felt like they were going to do better.
Yeah, we did. But you've got to remember they're a new franchise.
I agree, but I think despite that, I think I was backing them. I think I was allowing them the, you know, if they finish bottom, they finish bottom. But I was kind of thinking, yeah, but they've put together, I liked what they were doing.
They're not scoring many goals at all. I think if they were scoring goals, MLS kind of attitude, if you're scoring goals and conceding a lot, I think you put up with it more than if you...
Only scored 10 goals.
Not good enough, is it? Elsewhere, finally, Toronto 1, Nashville 1. Not scoring goals is not conceding goals is the problem for Toronto. Not kept a clean sheet in nearly 3 months now. And Philadelphia 1, Chicago 1. Wiki was back for Chicago, which is great to see. They went 1-0 up, but then had a man sent off. And they really hung on at the end to get the equaliser, to get the draw, which is encouraging, isn't it? That would be an encouraging point for them.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of Chicago in the last few years. You sort of have that spark every now and again, and you just really need them to build on it. And I think that's where they've failed in the past. So really good result, especially against Philadelphia. It's a great, great point. Well fought for. Let's build on it. But it's traveling all the miles that they do in MLS. It's having to rotate, playing another game in 3 days' time. And it's so hard to say, right, guys, that was great. Go and build on that, because actually I'm going to have to change six of you out. Hopefully Chicago build on that.
I don't know if I mentioned the actual score of the Vancouver game, but we drew 2-2 at home to Minnesota. Well, they say at home, it's their last match in Utah before they're actually going home. FC Cincy 0, DC United 0, and then Houston 0, RSL 0. So this morning, before we recorded this podcast, you put something out on Twitter saying that we were recording one. Has anyone got any questions you'd like to answer? And we've got quite a few come through, so let's answer some of them right now.
Very unprofessionally, I sent the tweet and haven't checked it since, so you're about to ask me questions I have no idea about.
You surprise me. You really do. Calvin has asked, he's FC Cincinnati actually. He said, with plenty of departures, can the future look bright for FC Cincinnati? Possible transfer targets or predictions as to how they'll finish? I don't really want to give potential transfer targets, because
you get into Miami territory.
Yeah, so but predictions on how they'll finish this year.
It's so hard, because if you look at the teams around them, you could say, yeah, they, you know, Atlanta, they could build, they could rebuild their roster. They, you know, that needs to happen, and they could, they will be back stronger, 100%. With Cincy, they've already tried the rebuild three times, and you know, we're on to another coach. You know, we all know what happened with the last, you know, the last coach, and the first one didn't work out, and I don't know with Cincinnati anymore. It's got to a worrying point for me.
You think that if you throw enough stuff at the wall, something will stick eventually. So I do think something will turn around. I like Cincy. I like the...
Yeah, I love it. The stadium's incredible. Yeah. I really want it to work, but I'm coming at it with a level of realism in the rebuild isn't always the best option, because it's already cost so much money.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. The problem for me with Cincinnati, as I see it at the moment, is they're just trying to do anything to get some sort of short-term success. I don't see there's a long-term plan there. Even with Yap Stam, I don't know. I just don't see it being a long-term thing. So, they're just trying to get some short-term success. But, I mean, short-term success for them is actually winning a home game. You know, in the new stadium, and then we'll take it from there. Another question we've had: do you think that Phil Neville will be able to bring success to Inter Miami?
With my neutral hat on, no. I think the thing with Phil Neville is we question whether he was the right man in the first place, and I think now on the run of form, okay, they won at the weekend. On the run of form they were on, you have to think that Beckham was asking questions.
Yeah, I mean, that ownership group isn't going to put up with being bottom of the conference, have you? So, yeah, it needs to turn around fast. You never know. We said there, you know, I said there about Yap Stam not being long-term. Phil Neville potentially could be long-term because he's friends with David Beckham. So it could work out, but we joked at the start of the season about Phil Neville managing Gonzalo Higuain and Blaise Matuidi. I don't see that working out. So personally, I would love to see him do well, but yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's going to happen.
The tracksuit top, though, is great, and Poppy wants one.
Can I have one?
Well, maybe he can bring one back, because he's from my hometown, Bury, Phil Neville, so maybe he can bring one back with him. Alex says, where can Portland Timbers improve, and will they make the playoffs?
I wanted to ask you this, actually, because earlier in the podcast, because with Portland, it's hard to look at them outside the playoffs and go, they won't make it. Surely you have to feel like they're going to be above that line.
Yeah.
Just on, is it just about drawing on the past experience? Like, it's hard to say where that's gone wrong, really. Like, surely a club like Portland, who are, I would say, a mainstay in the playoffs, surely they are able to draw on the past experience, and you have to feel like they'll be there.
You do, yeah. And as I said before, you know, with a lot of teams, that players are going to come back in from injury and international sort of, you know, like Gold Cup or Copa America kind of thing. So I think things will level out come the mid to end of August. But yeah, Portland, we do think will probably make the playoffs. They tend to do that. But I just don't see with Portland going that much further in the play. I don't see them troubling MLS Cup personally. But
you think they'll make the playoffs and that's it?
Yeah, they may be first or second round to go out. Yeah, I don't know. There's just something not there. There's no consistency at the moment for me, but I do think they will get in. Let's see, another one here. Which current or recent England internationals do you see one day coming to MLS?
Oh, great question.
It is, because there's a lot of youngsters in the England team at the moment. So, you know, you'd think they'd probably stick in the Premier League for a while. So, I mean, that's just a guess, really, at any of them who could go over.
Who wants Kyle Walker?
That's a good shout. Kyle Walker could be a good shout, actually. He seems to me an LA Galaxy kind of guy, Kyle Walker. He's
going along the Ashley Cole lines.
Yeah, maybe Miami. It's easy to throw England players at Miami at
He'd
the moment.
Be a designated player, so just, you know, be careful with
okay.
that.
But then again, you know, Atlanta, he's not really seen Atlanta go down the route of you know, despite having a Brit in the front office, they've not really gone that route.
No, true.
Down the route. And Kyle Walker is still one of the fastest players in the world, so he'd do well in MLS. So Kyle Walker, that's a good shout. Anyone else? Ben Foster, who was at Man United, and I think he plays at Watford now in the Premier League, he has said on his YouTube channel that he plans to have one more season at Watford, then wants to move to MLS. And he has specifically said America. So he's a goalkeeper. So, you know, he's... Yeah, that could...
I like Ben Foster, but I think that's probably the only position we're all right in. So, yeah. Do you know what? This is really random, but obviously a long way down the line. Dominic Calvert-Lewin would be incredible in MLS. A Kai Kamara-style figure that we don't see a lot anymore.
No, yeah, he's a bit of an old-fashioned
big target
forward. Man. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know, maybe...
Like, we've seen that work.
Yeah, maybe. You could follow Kai, go to, like, Colorado Rapids or something like that. But great question, by the way. Yeah, there's a few players there that we'd like to see. But hopefully, by the time Dominic Calvert-Lewin is getting to that age where he would traditionally be looking at maybe MLS, maybe the league, as it would have improved its sort of its perception in Europe, and maybe, you know, younger players are going there. Last, we've got, don't need to mention a specific team or anything, but over under 75% chance Matt Turner is in Europe come January. He won goalkeeper of the Gold Cup.
So I wanted to touch on this with New England Revolution, but I'm aware he's obviously been away with the US men's national team, so it wasn't quite relevant. So I'm glad it's been brought up. Matt Turner... there's not a pun on his name, but the turnaround in his career in the last 2 years is incredible. Because remember, Brad Friedel didn't know who his best goalkeeper was. He played one keeper, then the other one, then the third keeper. He rotated like no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Matt Turner's made that his own. He's proved the level that he's at, you know, and he's playing for the US men's national team. You have to feel like we're going to see more keepers moving to Europe, I think.
Yeah, there was kind of a period in the 90s, weren't there, with Casey Keller and Friedel, but that's kind of happened. And then Tim Howard in the noughties, but not been many.
So we've got Zach Steffen.
Yeah, Zach Steffen, yeah. I mean, Guzan about 10, 12, 13 years ago. But Matt Turner, he's only 27, which for a goalkeeper is quite a young age. They tend to go on into the late 30s. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he's been incredible, and he well deserved his goalkeeper of the Gold Cup. So, yeah.
Talk to me about the level. Are we talking a Burnley or are we talking a Championship?
I think he'd probably go Championship first, okay, and then make his way up. I think
Fulham.
Yeah, maybe the sort of top of the end of the Championship. I think what's difficult is, like, I mean, we've seen with Zach Steffen, is that unfortunately you have to probably play in Europe at one of the bigger teams to get that move to one of the big six in the UK. So maybe he goes to the Championship or lower end of the Premier League to get that move, or maybe he goes to somewhere else in Europe, another country, like a lot of them are doing now. Say Germany may fit in, or even Portugal or Spain.
Belgium,
yes. So it's a great question. It'd be interesting to see. But, I mean, with any player in MLS, we are happy to see them continue there rather than come over and play for some country, yeah. You know, some country in Europe that we don't tend to watch. So, yeah, great question. Thanks for them. We'll put that out in future episodes as well. Right, we need to move on. And next, we're going to play a game that you introduced last time. It's Three Lies on the Show.
Three Lies on the Show. So this is where I give you five facts about players or staff or stats from MLS, and actually three of them are lies. You've got to work out which are lies and which are true. Now, you actually did very well last time.
I got them right, both of them.
So we'll see how you get on this time. They're all a little bit ridiculous. Just remember, I have actually made some of these up. What is my brain? Okay, you ready?
Come on.
Play along at home. True or false? Four MLS players have siblings representing North and South America in the Olympics.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure whether that's true or not, but we'll see.
Okay. Number two, the longest streak of away games played in a row by an MLS team is 15.
That could be true. MLS is the only league, really, that
yeah.
could be true, yeah.
Number three, Tampa Bay Mutiny.
Oh, yeah?
Have more regular season successes than Portland Timbers and Vancouver Whitecaps combined. We're talking about their Supporters Shield wins, obviously.
Ah, right, okay. Well, I mean, Vancouver haven't done much, so it'd be down to Portland. I'll have a think about that one.
Number four. A representative of Maxi Urruti has written to the local district to apologise for Maxi damaging his neighbour's trash cans by placing them in the top corners of a goal set up in his yard, namely top bins.
Nah, I think Urruti's got more respect than that.
I knew you'd write this one off straight away.
Yeah.
Number five, Joseph Martinez admits to late night texting sessions with his new coach.
I hope that's true. That'd be nice. Right, I'm going to go with, I think that might be true, that actually Martinez and Valentino are far closer than, I'm sure the text messages he would be sending Heinze would have been a lot different.
Mm. I think he was blocked.
And then I'm going to go for the 15 away games in a row is the record.
Okay, so we'll go through them again. Four MLS players have siblings representing North and South America in the Olympics. So you're saying that's false?
Yep.
Correct, that's false. The longest streak of away games played in a row by an MLS team is 15. You're saying that's false?
Yep.
It is false. It's 12, and it's Portland Timbers.
No, I said that was true, sorry.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, close.
Tampa Bay Mutiny have more regular season success than Portland Timbers and Vancouver Whitecaps combined.
That one's going to be true, isn't it?
It is true.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. And they're not even a thing anymore. A representative of Maxi Urruti has written to the local district to apologise for Maxi damaging his neighbour's trash cans by placing them in the top corners of a goal set up in his yard. Top bins.
No, he's got more respect than that. That's not true.
It's not true.
Yeah, I knew it.
Which means Joseph Martinez has admitted to late night texting sessions with his new coach. 3 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like us watching MLS.
I know. Now he knows how we feel.
Well, one, I'll take one this time. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's 50%. It's not bad. It's not bad. Yeah, well done. If you played long at home and you got those right. Well done. We'll do another game of Three Lies on the Show. I think it's quite fun coming up with the potential ones.
MLS UK Show.
with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
Now it's time for the section of the show where I have a look at an MLS city, state, or in the case of last episode, region with New England. And we do a little bit of a guide to him because we know so much here in the UK about certain places and certain cities, the more popular ones, and not so much about others. So in that case, we're going to do Henry's guide to LA.
That intro didn't really work for you, did it?
No, it didn't. No.
Of course, LA famous for its country music.
Hey, Elliot.
Hey, Henry.
Did you know LA is the second largest city in terms of population in the US behind New York City, and it got a population of 4 million?
Yes.
Okay. The county of Los Angeles has places that we've all heard of in the UK. It's got Hollywood, Compton, Malibu, Beverly Hills, and of course, where the Fresh Prince was sent.
Oh, Bel Air.
Bel Air.
I've been there, seen the house. It's great.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to see the house. I'd love to go in it. I'd love to live in it.
Well, I saw a white mansion that the guy on the bus told me was the Fresh Prince of Bel Air's mansion.
Are you sure you weren't in DC and it was the White House?
It might have been. Who knows?
LA was founded as, well, I'm not going to read out the Spanish pronunciation of it. However, it does translate to the town of Our Lady Queen of the Angels on the Porcinsula River. I've said that wrong.
Absolutely smashed that, mate. Do you want to have another run at that one?
Porcinsula, maybe. Maybe our friends at LA Is Our House will be able to pronounce that better than I can. The Hollywood sign is the most famous landmark in LA, but originally it was an advertisement for Tinseltown's latest real estate development, and it said Hollywood Land.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
They knocked the land off in 1949. In the probably the most LA Hollywood sort of fact I could come up with is, in LA, even the coroner's office has a gift shop. If LA was its own country, its economy would be bigger than Saudi Arabia, Switzerland, and Sweden's.
Wow.
And there are tons of stars that are buried at the Hollywood's Forever Ceremony. One of them is the Looney Tunes voice actor Mel Blanc, whose gravestone reads, "That's all, folks."
Love that. That's so good. Nice.
As you can imagine, there's so many famous people that were born in LA. We're talking Kim, Khloe, Kourtney, Kendall, Kylie, who are known as the Kardashians, of course.
So, he said famous people.
Angelina Jolie, Leonardo DiCaprio, Charlie Sheen, Jason Segel, who is in your favourite show, How I Met Your Mother. Gwyneth Paltrow, Marilyn Monroe was born in LA. Jonah Hill, Dustin Hoffman, Kendrick Lamar, Jennifer Aniston, Nicolas Cage, Snoop Dogg, and famous US women's national team player Alex Morgan. She was also born in LA. And finally, as we are doing the Olympics at the moment, and we potentially have a listener who is in the Olympics.
No, we do have a listener that was in the Olympics.
We do have one. It's only right to end on that in 2028, LA will be hosting the Olympics. Now, it will be doing so for the third time, although it won't be the first place to host it for the third time, because when Paris host it in 2024, that will be the first place.
How annoying.
For the third time. The Bank of California Stadium will be hosting some of the track and field events in the Olympics, and the Dignity Health Sports Park, which is in Carson in LA, that will host rugby, tennis, modern pentathlon, field hockey, and track cycling.
Wow.
Dignity Health Sports Park has also hosted in its time MMA, CrossFit Games, college football, and Major League Lacrosse.
I've seen a really good bicycle ridden by a Swedish guy at the Dignity Health Sports Park. So I reckon it'll be good for that.
Was his name Zlatan?
It may have been.
And that was Henry's guide to Los Angeles.
Famous for its country music.
Not quite straight out of Compton, is it?
No. Can we get more Dr. Dre up in here?
Dr. Dre, also from California, I think.
Yeah, you forgot him, didn't you?
Right, well, that's it for that. To another place, another city, another county that has been chalked off. Not many left now. We'll do another one on the next episode.
Is it going to be Nashville?
No, Nashville will be last. Oh. I'll put it out on Twitter before the next episode. Right, now it's time to look ahead in MLS to what's happening. And before we do that, Elliot, it has finally happened.
Has it?
It has finally
happened. Is it a double get in?
is a double get in because my friend here, who has been hopeless this season at predictions, has finally won 1 week.
Get in, come on.
You won last time. You won 45-35, although none of us predicted that New York City would beat Orlando 5-0.
No, I don't think I would have predicted that Orlando beat Atlanta either, but, you know, get in.
So well done. It's now Henry 3, Elliot 1 as we go into the next round of fixtures. There's quite a lot happening in midweek. So this is happening on, Wednesday evening, but Thursday morning here in the UK. New England Revolution versus Nashville, Columbus versus DC, Montreal versus Atlanta.
Vive la France.
In Canada, Philadelphia versus Toronto, Chicago versus New York City FC, New York Red Bulls versus Cincinnati, Orlando v Miami.
Come on, the Purples!
Austin versus Houston, Dallas Derby. There, I think that's the first one they've had. Seattle versus FC Dallas, LA Galaxy versus Salt Lake, LAFC versus SKC, and Portland versus San Jose. Shout out to Vancouver as well, because I think Vancouver have drawn quite a few games, so I think they're still our MLS UK show champions.
Clinging on.
Champions. Yeah, they're probably, it's changed hands that many times, they've probably now held it for the longest time.
Yeah.
Right, so we move now to the weekend, so this is where we're going to do our predictions. Remember, if you get the right outcome in terms of saying a team will win and they win, it's 5 points. If you get the right score, then it's 10 points. So, Elliot, we're going to kick off then with... where are we? Oh, FC Cincinnati looking for their first win.
Vamos.
At their new stadium against Orlando.
I'm going to go for a 2-0 Orlando win.
Yeah, I can't look back past Orlando unless he plays the same team as what he played against New York City. But you'd fancy Orlando win. I'm going to go 2-1.
Okay, yeah, probably a safer bet. Columbus Crew versus your boys Atlanta. Both teams looking to bounce back in quite a big way.
Yes, Columbus is probably in a bigger way. We'll see what happens in midweek, but you've got to fancy at the moment Columbus to win this one. For me, I'm going to go... 3-1.
A narrow 1-0 win.
Minnesota versus Houston at the Allianz Field.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a... I'm going to go 2-2 draw here.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
No, I think Minnesota will win. Houston not really scored many goals, but I think Minnesota 3-0.
Next one's quite frightening. Toronto versus NYCFC. It's a big playoff fixture of years gone by. Mm. You have to look at NYCFC here.
You do, but I mean, Toronto have been playing better, and I think they're more settled now they're at home.
9 goals in the last two.
Yes,
years.
And Toronto don't keep many clean sheets. You know what? I think in the most MLS thing possible, Toronto will keep a clean sheet against New York City FC.
You think? 0-0.
I don't think so, but I think it's just peak MLS that they will. So, and I think they'll win 1-0.
You think Toronto will win?
Yeah.
Nah, keep a clean sheet. 2-0 New York.
FC Dallas versus Austin. Another Texas derby for Austin there.
Dallas 1-0.
Dallas's form. I think they'll beat Austin. I think Austin will have a bit of a humble in here. I think it'd be 3-0.
Colorado versus SKC. This is a tough one to call, to be fair. And I'm gonna go for a Colorado win 2-1.
Recent years, that'd be quite surprising you've done that, but not this year. Colorado playing very well. SKC, yeah, they had a slip last week, but I still think they're a very good side. They're playing well. I think this will be a draw. I think 2-2.
Okay, how about Portland versus RSL?
Portland will get back to winning ways. I think they'll win. They're not winning by big margins in the games they are winning, so I think it'll be 1-0.
No, I agree. I was going to go 1-0. To make it interesting, I'll go 2-1.
Chicago versus New York Red Bulls.
1-1 draw.
2-1 Red Bulls. Miami versus Nashville.
Nashville, great little club. 3-1 win for the boys, I reckon.
I think this would be a big test for Miami to see if they've turned the corner. I'd like to see Miami turn the corner, to be honest. So I think... I'm going to go 2-1, but Nashville are playing really well. So that's just me. That's me trying to make it interesting in the old predictions league we've got.
I'm fascinated by this one because you've backed New England massively. However, we love Philly. They're playing each other. What are you going for?
New England win.
Really?
Yeah, Philly, they're doing okay, but I think New England, the train ain't stopping. I think it'll be 3-2, a high-scoring game as well.
I'm going 1-1.
Okay. Moving on now to Sunday evening. So this is early Monday morning in the UK. San Jose versus LAFC.
This is
California derby.
Do you know what? 2-0 San Jose. Don't at me.
Wow, okay. 1-0 to score?
Yeah, he's going to get a hat-trick.
Yeah. 2-0. No, I think LAFC, I think 2-1, they'll win. DC versus Montreal.
Tough one that. 1-0 DC.
Yeah, I like what DC are doing at the moment. The Losada ball. So, yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 DC, finally.
Finally, LA versus Vancouver. Yeah. LA Galaxy.
LA Galaxy, a MLS UK Show Championship match. I think LA Galaxy will win this. They're at home. I think they're doing well. Vancouver are doing well as well, don't get me wrong, but I think LA Galaxy, I think 4-2.
3-2 I was going for.
Right, well, that's it. The following week is the League's Cup. We've got SKC versus Lyon, Seattle versus Tigres. Or Tigres, however you want to pronounce that, whichever part of the world you come from.
Tigers.
NYCFC versus Pumas. Orlando versus Santos.
Come on, you purple men!
What, Oompa Loompas? No, they were orange, weren't they?
Yeah.
Club That's America versus Philadelphia as well. So, Leagues Cup, where do you stand with that? Are you looking forward to this? This is kind of the first kind of thing that Orlando have been in with.
Never been involved in anything like this, so I'm here for the journey, and I'll be disappointed very, very soon.
Right, well, that's it for our prediction. Send us yours at MLS UK Show on the socials, or comment below if you're watching on YouTube. Remember to give us a like, subscribe, and click the notification bell as well. Right, before we go then, just a quick shout out. If you want to leave us a rating on your podcast provider, if you leave us a review, the code word this week to guarantee you a mention on the next episode will be, what should we have?
Oh, thought you went in confident then, like you had one.
Yeah, that's the trick. Act confident when you're really not.
Get in.
Get in. Should we keep it? Go back to the old school. Get in.
Get in.
I guess Orlando have beaten Atlanta, so that's allowed. So if you write get in on a review on your podcast provider, we'll read it out to you. And if we don't, then screenshot it, send it us with a load of abuse, and we'll read it out on the next episode. Right, game with a changing name then. Come on. You're going to have to give me some more clues, actually.
Do you think? Yeah. I'm surprised. I've tried to make it harder because I thought it was a bit too easy. So this player's born in 1982. In England.
So 38, 39.
Yeah, yeah. Still playing. He scored over 200 goals in England, Scotland and the USA. 11 of them were in MLS.
Right.
20 goals for England. Have you got any ideas?
That's the thing that's thrown me a bit, because 20 goals, that's a lot of goals. So they would have played a long... I should get that, really.
Their trade involved a swap deal for a player that still plays... for the club now.
I know who it is now. It was the fact that do they play in Scotland right now?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the thing that was confusing me, because I thought, who could it be? And now you've...
Isn't it weird how something like that suddenly triggers it?
Now you've given me that fact, I know who it is. The trade was Toronto and Sunderland.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Altidore went one way, Jermaine Defoe went the other way.
Yeah.
There you go, Jermaine Defoe.
Correct.
Well done if you got that right.
I couldn't believe we've never done him before.
I know, yeah. Well done if you got that right a lot sooner than I did. Right, well, that's it then. So thanks very much for listening. Thanks for putting up with Elliot and his get-ins. If you're an Atlanta fan, if you're an Orlando fan, I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Get in.
And we'll be back next time. In the meantime, like I said before, please vote for us. footballcontentawards.com. /voting. You need to give us a... you just go on there. Best podcast, international section, right, MLS UK Show in as well. We'll hopefully get a nomination. So on the next episode, we'll tell you how to vote for us again. Leave us a review, leave us a rating on your podcast provider, and subscribe on YouTube. I think we've covered our bases there.
Just when you've got Atlanta out of the way, Miami are waiting around the corner, so hopefully I'll be a very happy Elliot Holman saying goodbye.
See ya.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.